Welcome to episode 148 of Courtside Indiana Podcast. Jim Reamer, joined again this week by Kyler Staley. Kyler, how was our day yesterday? Did we do okay?
I think we did okay for the most part. had some hiccups, you know, throughout the day, but you know, I think for the most part, I think we did all right.
Yeah, I probably need to get one other person in, not only just for the set of eyes, but also to get one guy on each side of the building aside from myself. So that would obviously, you'd be one of them, and then somebody else would be the other. Probably need to get one more person involved. I don't know who that would be, but we're going to try and find out this week, because it wouldn't be bad to get another set of eyes too. Cause I think that's something we'll talk a little bit more as we get on to talking about some of the kids we saw yesterday. Two coaches didn't show up. Two referees didn't show up. That doesn't even get to the part of where I screwed up the evening block of officials, where I misread a text and assumed somebody was coming and he didn't show up. Of course, that one was on me. So then we had two courts at the end that had one official. I mean, it's not the first time that's happened. But it's, you know, the two coaches not showing up are the biggest screw-ups, right? Because next thing you know, I've got one of them had two teams, and just I don't know. I don't know why you commit to something. We're not going to spend the whole podcast complaining about this stuff, but sort of getting the other way. I don't know why you commit to something and then literally just not show up.
Well, with the coach not showing up, I had to make my head coaching debut.
There you go.
didn't do too hot though. I mean, well, we kept it close my first two games, but we ended up dropping 0-4.
Yeah, and I probably needed to do a better job of, especially at the younger grades, keeping the already formed teams together, and then giving those other teams that we put together for the league to gel a little bit.
Yeah, that's how my last group was. My first group was really good because I had some guys from Lawrenceville, you know, South Ripley and those kind of guys, mm-hmm. area. Yeah. Like, they were really good. I liked coaching them. They were smart too. But that last, you know, group that I had, you know, they were just a bunch of randoms kind of put together, you know, not from the same area.
Right. That's the nature. That used to be the complete nature of the league. And we started taking teams, and that makes some things easier, makes some things a little bit more of a challenge. Like, we don't, you know, we still had five teams that didn't submit their roster right away. So there were some teams we didn't know how to place. And so there's probably a couple of outcomes there where there might be a blah. But I think at the end of the day too, you know, we had, and I'm not complaining, but I just to show the nature of the league. You know, we had one parent we had one parent after the games send a message saying that they didn't think the pool that he was in was competitive enough for him. Well, they got beat one game by 20. And as best I tell, said player was just okay as far as production wise. I mean, it's hard, you know, it's hard to say when you're not really watching all the games, but in the first week, we don't get a chance to watch as much. We'll get a chance to watch more as the league goes on. But it did, I think it slowed down a little bit. At least those last games, we had the coaching part figured out, because obviously you could take a team and Coach Calhoun from Riverside High School, who's the new head coach there, has coached with me in the past. He took his assistant. One of his assistants couldn't make it, so he took a team. But that wasn't the assistant. That wasn't the guy that just didn't show up. The teams you had were the one guy that just didn't show up. So,
yeah, which is fine. I enjoyed coaching those kids.
And the other team, we're lucky that two of the dads are high school coaches. So that was. One of them is a current high school coach. The other one is a former assistant high school coach. So it was decent, good fortune. We you know, we get it covered, and that's how we do it. So all in all, I thought the play was pretty good. I know my two games got a little ragged, but we scored into 90s in both games. Normally we're not doing. I mean, normally they're not doing that, and these dudes act like they're gassed. And they probably were. We should have a full boat next week. We got two guys that weren't there this week that we'll get back from fall break. So it's Braylon Mullins and Cooper Beane will be. We won't lack shooting, that's for sure.
No, I mean, your team was fun. I really enjoyed watching all those guys, Preston Robertson, Jermaine Coleman, and all those guys. I really enjoyed watching them.
Yeah, they moved the ball well. They moved the ball well, and even the kids, you know, the kids that don't, obviously some of those guys play together from AAU, so they know each other, but by now they all know each other, you know, and they all know within a certain degree of doubt that what others can do that they don't normally play with. And if they didn't, they figured it out pretty quickly. But we'll talk more about that after we get through the recruiting updates, and that's what we're going to do right now. Not a very busy week. What was it, last week? Did we have like a ton?
It was either, I know 2 weeks ago we did. I don't know
Weeks ago it was a ton. And last week it was normal, and then this week it's just three notes. Chase Kuzma. Yeah, all three seniors on this update. Chase Kuzma from senior guard from Hanover Central received an offer from Rose Holman. A.J. Dunn from Yorktown High School received an offer from Manchester. And then Jake Davis, who we said from the beginning, or at least from very early on when we really started to focus, you start getting offers thrown at the class of 2023. Jake Davis said at least a low D1 guy, and that's exactly what happened. He ends up at Mercer, commits over the weekend to school down in Georgia. Of course, their head coach, Greg Gary, is a Indiana native. He played at Anderson Highland, graduated in 1988. Outstanding high school player, former assistant at Purdue, and took the head job down there, 2 years ago?
Something around that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Jake's going to have a good career. He's going to do the things he does for Cathedral is going to be what he does in college. I would think at any level of college he would have gone to, he would have done the exact same thing. And maybe no less. I mean, definitely no less. And maybe no more. Like, he could have gone to the Crossroads Leagues and probably been a kid that averaged 10 points, you know, 6-7 rebounds, and, you know, be a versatile defender, and, you know, be a ball mover, and also a guy who can stretch the floor. I think he can do those things at Mercer. I don't know that he would do any more at a lower level, but I think he'll be able to do those things at Mercer. Certainly, maybe not right away, but you know, he'll get stronger and he'll get a little quicker. And I think he'll be able to do those exact things at Mercer that he's doing at Cathedral. And he'll be an important piece to a team that has a chance to win games.
Yeah, just a great, great spot for him. You know, and I really like that he was able to commit before the basketball season got started with, so he didn't have to worry about that heading into that. And he can just focus on his senior year and, you know, trying to get Cathedral to win another state championship. But, you know, when we talked about low Division I guy, I agree with you. I think he's going to have a great college career. I think that's just a perfect spot for him at that level.
Yeah, daggone it, my brain. You said something there that I wanted to expand on, and I can't remember what it is now.
Before the season?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yes, that's exactly what it was. I think it's best to commit before the season. I think you get situations where you wait to go into the school season, expecting your recruiting to jump, and sometimes it does, but then even in those situations where it does, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a great fit. You know, those schools that are recruiting that late typically are recruiting out of, I don't know, desperation, or out of not getting exactly who they wanted to begin with, right. You know, and typically if they get kids late, they're going to start over recruiting them the instant they get them, typically. But sometimes they genuinely don't get the kid that they want, and then they do learn more about a kid, or they see something in a kid that they didn't normally think of, you know, would be a great fit. And a lot of that has much to do with physical maturation than it does about what they think of their current skill set. So it's I am much more comfortable with kids committing before their senior year, their senior season, than I am for them just like holding off. Now, if you don't have great options or you don't have any options, that's different. But I don't like seeing guys all that often push away opportunities thinking that they're going to get something bigger. And I got a couple kids that are going through that now. And one of them I'm definitely recommending a prep school and like after, you know, a post grad year. And the other one I think is, I'm not going to say names. The other one I think's got himself a couple of nice offers. And I know specifically one of his visits went extremely well and I'd like to see him take it, but he wants, I think his disposition 2 weeks ago was to go into the school season and that's fine. I don't have to agree with everything.
That's the best part about this world. Nobody
and
has
he,
to
and
agree.
He may get, and he may get, you know, he may end up with what he wants. But I think he's got some a couple of good offers right now, and I'd like to see him jump on one of them. But.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the 23 class, you know, with Jake Davis committing, you know, still very few guys left that are uncommitted, especially, you know, in the higher ups right there. I mean, Joey Brown, Jalen Hooks, Jermaine Coleman, those guys right there just jump off. Top of my head is still uncommitted.
You said a name there I'm going to talk about later. All right, man, the fall league, 4 weeks of content. We saw some good stuff. I thought, I don't know how much you got a chance to actually watch. I think you got to watch maybe more than I did. But at the same time, I was able to sit down and watch. As the day went on, I got a little bit more time to myself to watch. And then the two games that I'm coaching is the only two hours of the day where I'm basically uninterrupted and get a chance to see obviously the kids that I'm coaching and get a chance to see the kids that I'm playing against. And so that's some of my observations will be based on that. But who was probably the biggest standout that you saw? And again, we're doing, look, for those who would listen and those who are like, well, my kid did this, my kid did that. We two sets of eyes and a couple of coaches that are, you know, that might comment on the side about who played well. That's it. We don't have the ability to absorb every minute of every game. Even if we were a little bit more strategically camped out, there's still more basketball than can be absorbed to any sort of huge value in terms of everybody. I mean, it's sort of, you know, we get large blocks of time to watch games. We'll get to watch more as the league goes on. And that's why what's one of the nice things about a 4 week league is that they get other opportunities to be seen. It's not just, hey, you have a bad day or, you know, hey, you didn't get seen this week. You know, I know I'll make it a point to see teams later in the league that I haven't had a chance to see yet. And so, you know, hopefully at the end of the day, we get a chance to touch on at least a little bit on every team. But, you know, and sometimes it's timing. And I'm going to have an example of that here in a minute too. But go ahead. Who was someone you saw, you know, kids you saw, who is there somebody, anybody that just stood out as like, that's the best performance I saw today?
You know, I might steal this guy from you, but I'm going to go with Preston Roberts, in my opinion. I thought by far the games that I was able to watch when I wasn't coaching, I thought he was just so impressive, so explosive. You know, in both games, I thought, I mean, I don't know how many dunks he had, but it felt like every time I was looking over, there was a fast break dunk on there. But, you know, just for this performance, I've always been kind of back and forth where I see him, like, at the college level wise. But I don't know. I think I'm starting to think that he's really a low Division I guy at this point. I thought he was excellent in both games.
You know, athletically, he is. And he shot the ball very well the first game. Second game, he couldn't buy an outside shot, and that's the story of his. That's what it's been. You know, it's not fully consistent yet. Thought his ball handling was good yesterday. I think he was a victim this spring and summer of just play with a lot of weird basketballs. You know, and if it really does make a difference, every event we play in, it's like there's some sort of ball they're pushing, and it's no different than Under Armour, Nike, or Adidas, and none of those basketballs. There's nothing better than a worked-in Wilson basketball. You know, a worked-in Spalding basketball. These Nike balls, these Adidas balls, these Under Armour balls, these whatever brand of basketball that they're, these other brands, they're not great basketballs. And it does make a difference. And sometimes they're not pumped up enough. I mean, and what it does mean is that for a kid who's hindered by that, that means he needs to work on his ball handling more, you know, but But then he handled the ball extremely well yesterday. Well, those basketballs were pumped up, and you know, and we use, you know, those were my basketballs. So, and I know it's pretty, and that might be a lame excuse, but I mean, he does, he's a kid that needs to improve his ball handling. He doesn't necessarily get a great opportunity to handle the ball during the school season, with just the number of other guards that Noblesville plays, and he is their strongest defender. Like physically, not just necessarily their best defender, but he's definitely their strongest defender. So he's always guarding the other team's big man. But he was good yesterday. Again, he shot the ball very well the first game, and you know, then the second game he struggled, but he played hard.
He did, yes. Energy was there.
Yeah,
no doubt.
You know, I didn't see. Like, there wasn't just one, like, stud performance. We've had times where somebody will go off, like, at a 40 or 50-point game. Can't remember who that was. 2 years ago at Fisher, somebody had a 50-point game. And I don't remember who it was. We talked about it. I know that much.
Was this a couple years ago?
Yeah, Fisher's. It was a name. It was somebody that we knew, you know, we already knew was good. But
trying to think who that would be.
I think some of the guys I'm mentioning are there are a couple of kids I've not seen before. But I'll just start here. The guy that I was pleased to see Jalen Hooks play.
Yeah, me too.
It's nice that he's back in Indiana. It's nice that he played hard yesterday. I don't think the team he was on, he was a late comer to the league. So the team dynamic that, you know, it was a group of guys that were individual registrations. And, you know, those guys got thrown to the fire a little bit. And they were competitive. They were competitive. And as the league goes on, they'll be more competitive. But he was, he looked pretty fluid. He shot the ball decently well. But you can still tell there's some rust in his game because he really hasn't played a lot of basketball for 2 years. He's been injured. He told me, I don't think I'm breaking his confidence here, but he told me that once he got out to Donda and he started having some pain in his knee, which is the knee that he injured, they did an MRI and there were still five little micro tears that hadn't fully healed.
Wow.
And plan A was to have another surgery, which I don't think he wanted to do. Plan B was just to let it heal and see how long it would take. And I mean, effectively cost him the rest of that year. So here's a kid that hasn't played a lot of basketball in 2 years. When he did tear his ACL, he came back, or not tear his ACL, but he's yeah, maybe he did. I can't remember if he's just had a very bad, like, knee sprain, bone bruise, or but he came back too soon. Yeah, it definitely wasn't an ACL tear. He came back too soon and was really gimpy the summer before his junior year, and it really hurt his recruiting. And again, not playing during his junior school season, you know, it's also hurt his recruiting, but it's nice seeing him play again. He was energetic, unselfish kid. He's playing with a couple of other Warren Central kids on his team. So they were fun to watch, and, you know, it was good to see him play. So that's where I'm starting with this, but the rest of my guys are probably going to be dudes that I thought had really good motors.
There's a lot of those guys out there.
There was, yeah. Well, there's just, look, there's a lot of good performances. A lot of good performances yesterday. No, in my mind, I even went back and reviewed some of the score sheets. No one just had like a huge game. Or if they did have a bigger game, their team got beat. One of them was not against us. Yeah, no, one of them was against us. Yeah. But go ahead with another name. You roll off
a couple names. I'm just going to three guys that I coached for a game. So they're 2020. Well, two of them are 2025s. The other one's actually a 2027. But I'll start off with Cole Henry, 2025 South Ripley power forward, about 6'5", I would say. You talked about motors. I thought this guy's motor was really good. You know, I kind of had to push him a little bit to get an offensive rebound. And once he started doing that, once he started hitting the boards, I mean, there was no stopping him when he was, you know, when he wanted to score a bucket, he was going to go to the rim. I thought he set screens well, rolled to the basket really well. But, you know, once he finally got into that, you know, mindset of like, I need to rebound the ball for us to win, he did a great job at that. And it just seemed like he wanted to score every time. And then his other teammates, a couple guards, first Blaine Ward, also from South Ripley, also 2025, his teammate. Incredible
I
shooter.
coached his uncle, so that's how
Yeah, he
old
no,
that's how
Blaine
old I
was.
am.
Oh, you're not that old. Come on.
Eh.
You still look good. But anyway, so Blaine, I thought was awesome. He was fun to coach. I mean, he was real aggressive. You know, was his size, you know, smaller size wasn't really an issue with him. And then he made some incredibly big shots at the end of our first game. He was kind of our go-to scorer at the end there. So he's got incredible range. And then another one, the 2027 eighth grader, Drew Vols. I thought he was playing against older guys that are at least a couple years older than him. And he was not afraid. You know, he's really small right now, but he's scrappy. And then he just took it to him, and I thought his defense was great. Second game got a little bit better. In the transition got a little bit wider. You know, he wasn't trying to take his guy to the basket all the time and get blocked. But no, I really like those three, and I could honestly just talk about all my guys on that team, but
Right.
those three really stood out to me.
Yeah, I was impressed with the younger Vols. Got downhill pretty well against older competition, and you know, didn't score, from what I could tell, didn't score a ton, but certainly set the table for a lot
He
of those
did, yes.
guys. Yeah, and the Ward kid, I thought, shot well for you down the stretch and in your second game with that group. Coach Beach will like that you're saying nice things about those guys, because he was actually texting me this morning wanting to know how they did, and I was like, I don't know.
No,
I
they were fun. They're
watched a little bit, but I didn't see much. I didn't see a ton.
a competitive group. I'll say that. I mean, every time I call a timeout or we had a halftime or any dead ball situation, I mean, those guys were on themselves, you know, and they were coaching up themselves. I didn't have to do a whole lot of that. They all played great together and just really competitive.
Two kids from Anderson, one Anderson High School, the other one from Liberty Christian. Jaquan Ingram playing with Coach. Well, Coach Anderson is the one who enrolled the team. I got to get back and see who the head coach's name is, but Jaquan, just super athletic player who I've been. His skill set has progressed, and so is his decision making and his playing. You know, he plays harder for longer periods of time, and he looked great yesterday. He was all over the place, and defensively, he was picking up in the backcourt. He was creating turnovers, turning defense into offense, and he just was just kind of all over the place. And I liked watching him play. He was aggressive on the offensive glass. You know, he's 6'3", he's a wing, you know, but he's rebounds his position well, and those are the things he does at Anderson. And I think the consistency of playing harder, and a lot of times that's just an awareness issue. You know, it's not a willingness issue. It's awareness. But I just kind of really thought he was all over the place yesterday, and in a good way, like physically, just was disruptive to the opponent. Ethan Troutman, who I believe is a junior at Liberty Christian, we played him. They were on two separate teams. They were not on the same team. There's two teams, two groups out of Anderson. Ethan shot the heck out of it against us, and you know they. I mean, we ended up winning that game by a pretty decent margin. And there's, you know, there's some slippage on defense. We had a couple kids that finally started to take it seriously, like taking him seriously. And, you know, but he'd already racked up some points, and he got a couple baskets late too, that didn't, you know, that were sort of, you know, as they like to say on the NBA podcast, low calorie. Low calorie.
That's
Yeah.
a great phrase. I love
Yeah.
that.
But nonetheless, he shot the heck out of it. His mechanics are great. He shot with range. He shot a couple from the volleyball line. That, you know, you always think, yeah, you don't want your kid doing that until you coach a kid like that can hit those shots. I mean, you'd never hear me tell Moles or Dylan Moles or Landon Beagle not to shoot from that spot. That's for damn sure. So he was good against us, and I was impressed. He had a couple times it came off screens. I was impressed they were hunting for him too. They were like trying to find a screen, trying to get him open with screening. So that was good. But yeah, he was really, I didn't know much about him. And he had a heck of a day against us. So I'm glad we won the game, and we went 2-0. So I'm pleased with that. But But he was pretty impressive.
Yeah, so I guess two guys, they played against each other. It was the game between I think it was the Kalgai Elite guys and the Grand Park Premier team. I think that was both of them.
Which age group?
It was the one with Isaac Andrews and Lomax.
Okay, so so 2024 class. Okay.
So guy that stood out to me, we talked about him kind of in depth a little bit a few episodes ago, but Sheldon Gatlin, the Cathedral transfer. His athletic ability's never been a question right there. I think you and I have kind of debated on where we think he fits at a spot, but I thought the thing that stood out to me the most is that he was knocking down threes left and right. I think right before you walked over at one point when I was watching, he had like two threes back to back. One was in transition pull up, and then the other one was off the catch at the corner. But for me, if he can bring that consistency from the 3-point line, I think he could be a pretty big threat at all three scoring levels there. And then another guy that he played against, Nathan Nelson from Wofani 2023. I believe we would consider him a small forward, but a little bit relatively unknown to me going
From
in.
where?
But
Where did you say it was from?
Wapahani,
Oh, Wapahani. Okay. I thought you said Wapani.
I might have.
Wapahani. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Wapahani. So anyway, his motor. We talked about guys that had motors. I mean, I thought his was the best motor out of everybody that I saw. Real physical style. When he was driving down the lane, I mean, he was going to make a play at the rim. Maybe needed to work on scoring it a little bit, finishing once he would do those drives. But I mean, overall, his motor and his the kind of the electric style that he played with really stood out to me.
Was he the kid they were worried about fouling out?
Might have been. I might have missed that. He was the one with the long blonde hair.
Oh, no. Okay, then no.
What? Who was a who?
No.
I didn't know there was a kid that was worried about
I
fouling
know who
out.
you're talking about now. Yeah, there was some question about fouling out because, again, I think the first 2 weeks we're going to be up, we're going to have some fall break issues. And a couple of those rosters had six guys. And we only had six. We'll have eight there this week, I think. I don't think anybody's missing next week. But we've got rules in place to where you can't foul out below five guys. So it's kind of the NBA Summer League model where if you do quote foul out, you can't go below five. So if somebody like say your sixth man fouls out, or one of your six fouls out, then he's out. But then the next ones don't have to sit; they can play. But every time they foul after that, the other team gets a point.
Okay.
Plus a point plus whatever the foul is. So if he gets fouls him in the act of shooting, they still get the basket and he gets the free throw. It might end up being a 4-point play.
Okay. I was a little
So
worried about that on my end because there was a team that only had five at the at our last thing. So.
I need to put those rules in writing. I know we've got game rules at every court, but that's one rule that we came up with last year. Actually, that was one rule we came up with during the 2020, the COVID year. So it was because we had kids. We were like any other league, we had kids that were missing for regular reasons, like fall break or whatever. Then we had kids were missing because they had COVID, or were contact traced, so they didn't come. That year, there were a couple of divisions, a couple of those pools. We had 10 kids on teams because we knew we would be having some kids rotate in and out due to COVID issues. So. I two guys that I really loved their motor. One of them we've talked about a couple times on here. The first one is Josiah Ball from Missanaqua, and 6'5" sophomore. Just a kid that every time I see him play, like I think we talked about him too. Whenever it was, we went down the list of breakout sophomores. He plays super hard. He's active with the ball. He's not. Nothing there with him lacks urgency. He's always attacking. He's got a great handle for a kid his size. I'd like to see him shoot more from the outside to figure out if he what he can and can't do from that from range. He's going to have a bigger role for Makonikwa this year. We've already talked about that a couple podcasts ago. So he is, but God, I love watching him play pretty much every time. I come away impressed. Michael Wellman from Portage. This is going to go down the issue of timing because I didn't get a great time, get a great chance to watch that team play. I think I saw like a 6 minute stretch, and I know, you know, I already know a couple of, you know, I know a couple kids in that team. They were that group was specifically put together as it was. It was nothing very random about any of it. They were all targeted sophomores that I wanted to play together. And again, Michael is 6'5" from Portage. He started last year as a freshman for them. Just again, super active. Gets it on defense. He understands the importance of it. He rebounds his position well. Can shoot. He has good range. I know a little bit more about his range than I do about Ball's range. But then it's his brother, who I'll get to later in the podcast. You know, they're twins, but they're fraternal twins. They're not, I mean, Michael's 6'5" and Sam's 6'2". So they're definitely not identical.
Oh, wow.
But just the time, and I'll get to the timing part of it again later, but just watching him play, just constantly involved in something. Him and Josiah Ball both are like that. And that's, you know, it's obviously going to be a good quality. And as he shows consistency from the 3-point line, which I think he's pretty damn close. You know, he's going to be a kid that, you know, I mean, Portage should still be pretty good this year, even though they lost Slaughter to Cathedral.
I guess another guy from me, I'll go with Vince. I hope I'm saying his last name correctly. Raimondo. He's a 2025 Southmont, 5'11". But he's an unknown player, but, I mean, he played his heart out for me. I was coaching. He was part of the last team that I coached. I mean, a little undersized. I kind of had him guarding a lot of their bigs at times. But he played with a great motor, you know, did whatever was asked for him. And then he got really hot in the second game that we did. We had to do a forfeit with that due to them not having enough players. But he got hot from behind the arc. Needs to work on probably finishing better on his drives. But as far as defense, I thought his defense was pretty solid for the most part. Just never took any plays off, and it's good to have a kid like that on there. And I mean, if he can just continue to have consistency with his scoring, I think he could be a guy that could really take off in the 25 class.
You say it's Southmont?
Yes.
Raimondo, Reimondo, I think is what his name is.
Yeah.
Let me look that up here real quick.
Yeah.
I hope I go the right direction. Yeah, Reimondo, South, 5'11", sophomore.
Yes.
Two more guys for me before I talk about my group. Both I thought were excellent shooters. Makai McGee from Taylor, 6'3", senior. Pretty fluid with the ball. And came off screens and hit shots. I was pretty impressed with him. And Brady Kloffenstein from Terre Haute North, who's a freshman. You know, Coach Wolfley's got three kids, including his son, that, you know, will at some point be pivotal on the varsity for them. I'll be interested to see if Brady gets any varsity minutes this year. Kid can really shoot it, no question. And he's long, he's 6'4", and he's got good length. I mean, he's, you know, I don't know a ton yet about the nuances of his game, but you know, just the short exposure to it, we've had him over for a workout, just the short exposure to it, he is he's, you know, he's definitely going to be somebody to keep an eye on at the high school level. And looking forward to getting Cooper Bach from Sullivan back for that group too, because he was on fall break and they missed him a lot. But I thought those two guys were excellent shooters. And then I'll close out my list on two guys that played for me. One has been with me in AAU for 3 years. The other one was playing with us in the fall league. Keon Miller, point guard with Southport, had joined us for the fall league and really loved his vision in all capacity, full court, half court, shot the ball well, took challenges defensively. There's some things that we're trying to do on offense that I think we could get a little bit better at. We're not really running a whole system there, but there's a couple things we try to do to get some clean looks and definitely to get a guy like him downhill. I thought his chemistry with Dylan Moles was outstanding. They kept finding each other, not just for outside shots, but cutting to the basket. There was a lot of good passing between those two guys. And Jermaine Coleman's playing with us too, and he was excellent. But really, really impressed with Keon's vision and just his toughness. And then Jesse Ferris, who's been with me for 3 years. I don't know. Did you watch our second game?
When he went off? No, I didn't see him go off on the second game. No.
He hit 6 threes in a row. The first couple were kickouts. There was a three shot stretch. I mean, these were like 6 threes in a row and like 8 possessions. there was a three possession stretch where Preston Roberts was pinning his the team we play was zoning. I mean, I need to outlaw zones. Unfortunately, that puts the burden on the officials to call something like illegal defense or whatever. I don't know. Maybe I'll consult my officials to see if they can deal with this. But sitting in a matchup, you know, sitting in a 2-3 or a 3-2 zone, it's just, what are we doing? I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to be too critical. I mean, I would feel that way if it was a high school team, I guess, too. But it just got to be a way. I know you're trying to steal a win in a fall league, and I get that. But come on, let's play some man-to-man. Let's get after it. But, I mean, we torched it because we had guys who could shoot, as you alluded to. And although that was the game, Preston didn't shoot well. But Jesse, 6 threes and 8 possessions. 3 of them, Preston, were pinning in that side of the zone so we could skip it over to him. And just unbelievably on fire. I've got a lot of faith in Jesse being able to stretch the floor with his outside shot. I think it's eventually going to be a skill for him that in college you see, you know, regardless of what level he ends up at. He's definitely going to have he already has some Division III opportunities. And, you know, I know that him being close to home is kind of important. So I think, you know, if anybody bigger comes along that's too far away, he's probably still going to be a little bit closer to home. But his shot mechanics are just – they're really nice. They're really fun to watch now. He's beautiful. They're compact. There's not a lot of wasted movement in it. And he was on fire. And then that third one he hit where Preston was sealing him in, Preston was – he was celebrating more than Jesse was. He was already hopping down the floor – kind of acting a little clownish. I had to maybe calm him down a little bit, but you know, Preston's a good teammate. He gets excited for his teammates when they're successful. And you know, he was getting Jesse open and the dudes were finding him. I loved it. It was funny watching them hunt him for that 8 possession stretch. And then finally he missed. He had a catch and transition. He took one dribble into a pull up three. And I was like, ah, what the hell? Let it go. And it kind of rimmed in and out. And even our official was enjoying it, and it was a fun moment just to see him, because I know sometimes he's a kid that I think his offense is going to be probably better in college than it is in high school, and at least he's going to have an opportunity to do that, and he's such a good shooter for a 4-man, so I was pretty pleased with how that went down. Any other names for you before I, or anything else you got on that? Or anything.
Yeah,
else.
No, going with Jesse, you know, when I saw him play in the first game, I didn't see that second game, but I feel like he's kind of the forgotten man on this Ben Davis team a little bit. Because when I looked at him and I was like, man, just started really counting all the players that I could think of on that Ben Davis team. I'm like, that's such a deep team right there. And I'm hoping that this year he has a big year for them.
I think they view him as Zane's backup.
Okay,
and I do think they'll play him more with Zane this year than what they were willing to do last year. There are some things in Jesse's game, and we've talked about this face to face, that don't always translate in school ball. Like for example, you know, in a fall league or even in the summer, there's enough space for him to get a rebound and go. You know, he can rip and run. In high school, that's a little bit, you know, at a more organized level, it's a little bit dicey. You know, and sometimes, like even his first catch in our first game, he was trying to split two defenders. You know, the other team had scored, so they were set defensively, and he brought the ball up, or he didn't bring the ball up, but we got the ball to him early in the possession. We didn't make the defense move yet, and he was trying to split two defenders. Now, the adjustment, this is where the coaching stuff comes into play. You know, with the fall league coaches, especially the guys that we bring in to coach the teams that are formed from individuals, it's really, we're just coaching situations. There's not a whole lot of coaching that's going on in this stuff, but we are coaching situations. And you just tell Jesse, look, man, don't try to split those two guys. Make sure you've got a clear path to at least the paint, you know, and then have a plan once you get there. But, and he did, he was fine after that. You know, he wasn't trying to force things. But there's times in the high school game where, you know, teams are organized in transition. You know, fall league, there's no organization in transition. It's, you're getting back, you're hopefully protecting the paint, hopefully you're protecting the basket. You know, at the high school level, you've got guys that are tap back guys, you've got guys that are fullback guys, you've got guys that are halfback guys. You know, there's different levels of organization that makes it tough for someone who isn't completely adept at handling the ball in traffic to get real sloppy in that situation. And I think there's not everything that that works in the summer translates to the school season. And there's a lot of kids that go through that. And just like, there's a lot of things that works well at the high school level that won't work well in college. You know, that's another adjustment that all these guys are going to have to make. But, you know, I do think that they have viewed him as Zane's backup for a period of time. And Sean Arnold is big enough and strong enough at 6'5" to guard the other players, you know, big players on their schedule. You know, so there is some room there that they'll have a good three big rotation this year. They won't have as many bodies up front as they've had in the past. But, you know, those three guys will get, I would guess 80% of the big man minutes. And so I think he'll certainly get some more clock this year. But in large part, they've just basically, I think they've viewed him more as just Zane's backup as opposed to a four. But again, there's some pitfalls there that's, I kind of get it. I mean, I definitely get it because I just explained it. You know, he keeps within himself. Where he can be a stretch big, that they're willing to do. They definitely have encouraged him to be a presence from the 3-point line. So he does get a little bit overlooked sometimes, and you know, hopefully that between that and rebounding, he'll be on the floor a lot more this year for Ben Davis.
Yeah, I mean that's a good way to look at that. I know I saw Ben Davis play quite a bit last year, and then every time that Jesse was never saw Jesse on the floor, and I was always wondering why. But I think what you just said kind of clears that up for me on my end.
Yeah. All right. Since I have the score sheets and you don't, I'm going to name off four guys each week who appear to have good games. I guess the only reason I go by that means they're scoring. That means they're scoring well. But I'm going to name a senior, a junior, a sophomore, and a freshman each week that kind of stand out on the score sheet, which, you know, that may not always be the best indicator. And there's a lot of guys that are, you know, we'll get a message saying, well, my son scored this, my son scored that. I understand that. Again, but we're just, you know, we could name every kid if we wanted the podcast for an hour and a half just doing that. But the senior would be Cam Freeman from Brebeuf, Bryson Seymour from Fishers is the junior, the sophomore Sam Wellman from Portage, and then the freshman is Deron Harris from Lawrence Central. And again, the Wellman thing, I've touched on that a couple times now, is interesting because when I watched them play, it was all Michael. And then as I looked through their box scores, as I looked through their score sheets, Sam did the bulk of the scoring, at least of the three Portage kids. You know, Garrett Clark is definitely the table setter there for that trio. And it's cool that those guys came down. I'd like to have a region team every year. You know, that would be nice. But these three guys came down and we teamed them up with Fabrica from Crown Point. So we keep those four region guys together. But those four dudes there that I just named were guys that had good days, really good days. And I just didn't get much of a chance to see them play. But I think it's a good way for us to get a little bit extra call outs. You know, make, you know, get some more names on the totem pole there. So anything else, man?
Man, I'll tell you what, I hope the next Sunday, I hope I have a, you know, a better chance to see a lot more players. I felt like my list was a little short this time, but, you know, as the weeks go on, luckily we got three more weeks of this. So hopefully I'll have a lot more players on my end that I can talk about.
We're going to bank on that. We're going to definitely bank on being able to watch more. I probably won't have to be called up to the front, to the gate as much going forward. And again, some of that's my fault for just, there's got to be better ways to do things. You know, most of the times I got called up there because the officials didn't know where they were supposed to, which court they're supposed to be on, you know, or, you know, some of them, I didn't have the coaches' names. I just knew the guy that signed up the team. So, you know, we'll get a lot of that ironed out and we'll both be able to watch more basketball next week. And that's definitely always part of the plan.
Oh, and hopefully have a lot more kids back. You know, it'll be exciting to see Logan Imes and Nick Richard, and then eventually down the road, Jalen Harrelson playing. So
yeah,
we got some big names still coming.
I think Jalen's in the league. He is probably going to be on one of those Anderson rosters, as I understand it. Imes and company will be back next week. They actually didn't play at all this week because of too many fall breaks. So I'm going to figure out how to work that into bracketing. If they go 4-0, they should, the rest of the way, they should probably be in that top bracket. But I don't know how we're going to do that yet. Well, and then they may not go 4-0, so we'll see. But we had two teams this week not play. I was thankful they gave us a heads up because that lets me figure the schedule out a little bit cleaner. Box Out Sports is a leading online graphic solution giving you the ability to create professional content in seconds to highlight your team and student athletes. You can sign up for a free demo at boxoutsports.com. And again, if you're an administrator or like an athletics director, or you're, you know, somebody who runs a club, you know, Box Out Sports is a great way to integrate graphics, and they even have some video tools now to integrate into your social media presentations. Again, thank you for listening to the Courtside Indiana podcast. If you listen every week, we certainly do appreciate it. If not, please hit the subscribe or add button on your podcast app and get them delivered straight to your phone, tablet, or desktop. As always, we'd appreciate a rating and review. And you can reach us directly at our Courtside Indiana Twitter and Instagram at CourtsideIND. That's CourtsideIND. All right, Kyler, what do you got coming up this week?
I feel like it's going to end up being a pretty busy week. We've got I got Big Ten Media Day tomorrow. Yeah. I won't be there, but we've got somebody. We've got Keegan Nickerson from thehoosier.com will be there. So I'm sure we're going to have a lot of stories up, you know, from that. Of course, what Mike Woodson, and I believe Trace and Brace are going to be the two players that are going to be there. So we'll have a lot of content up on there. So
is that in Chicago or do they have that?
So it's weird this year. So it's the Media Days in Minnesota, but Big Ten tournaments in Chicago, you know, how those normally kind of, you know, go hand in hand. But for some reason this year, they split it up.
The Big Ten tournaments in Minnesota, huh? I didn't know that.
Big Ten tournaments in Chicago.
Oh, the media Chicago. The Minnesota. Media Days in Minnesota or Minneapolis.
But big, not next year, but the year after next, in 2 years, it'll actually be in Minnesota. So very weird right now with their scheduling.
They should just keep it at Gainbridge Fieldhouse now. They should just keep it
yes,
there.
Please. It's perfect there. Perfect there. Anything's perfect there.
Yeah, pretty much. They can find your work at thehoosier.com, correct?
Yes, they can. And then I've got a notebook up on the prep hoops from week one. So probably have a lot more evals and stuff next week when I see a lot more players. So
good deal.
We'll be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, we'll definitely have some written content coming up after week one. Yesterday was a little, it's one of those things you just have to appear organized. You don't always have to be organized. And we got through it. I mean, there gets to be a point where the day runs itself and these other 3 weeks will absolutely run themselves. People will be acclimated and know what they're supposed to look for. And, you know, it was a good first week. It was good to see that there were a lot of competitive games. All right, Kyler, appreciate it, man. We'll talk.
Yeah,
we'll see you Sunday and we'll talk next week.
Awesome. Sounds good.